This is the Great Cheyenne from the Hellfire Symphony, and you're listening to the Oversell Podcast. Stay tuned with them, or I'm going to send you to hell!
It is episode 129, and we are recasting Heroes this week. This is the Oversell Podcast! Hello, everybody. This is the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I am Mike.
And we are here to talk a little professional wrestling. Well, nowadays, the focus of our show is like recasting these awesome TV shows with awesome professional wrestlers. That seems to be the motif of the show now, which I'm perfectly happy with because there's no other wrestling podcast doing it. And if there is, I just haven't found it yet. But I'm going to say you're listening to a one-of-a-kind podcast where we're taking your former favorite TV shows and we're recasting them using professional wrestlers. Tonight is no different. Heroes. Heroes ran, what, mid-2000s? Late 2000s?
Yeah, I think it started in 06, maybe 07.
Okay. 06, and then there was 4 seasons.
Right.
A few years later, you got Heroes Reborn, which I really enjoyed Heroes Reborn.
I was surprised. I enjoyed it more than I was expecting to.
Yep. That first season of Heroes, my God, that was such great television.
Oh yeah,
that first season, it kind of trailed off later on as the seasons went on.
Right,
season two, season three, season four. Oh.
I really like four just because of Samuel. Samuel is one of my top three favorite characters that show.
He was a great character, and I was really pumped when I'm going to use wrestling lingo here to describe something. At the end of season three, when he cut that promo.
Right.
While he was giving the funeral eulogy and leading into talking about his dead brother, which, spoiler alert, he ended up killing.
Right.
But before we get there, have you seen Solo? Did you see Solo?
I have not yet.
Okay. Go see it. It's really good.
Oh, I mean, there hasn't been a Star Wars movie that I haven't seen in the theater. I'm going to see it.
You're really going to like it, and there's some big stuff in this one.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. I really don't have much wrestling news to talk about. I think Samoa Joe tapped out Daniel Bryan.
Now he's in the Money in the Bank.
Yep.
I've got no DQ pulled up because usually where I go.
Sasha Banks qualified for the Women's Money in the Bank match. She won the gauntlet match. I watched that match. Holy shit, do her and Ruby Riott have some great chemistry. That if whenever Sasha wins the title, her and Ruby Riott are going to have a great program. And Ruby Riott has grown on me a lot in these past couple of months. And it just clicked for me last night. I've enjoyed her stuff. But last night, watching her and the Riott Squad cut this promo, I'm like, damn, Ruby's some good stuff. Another thing I like this week. There was an interaction between Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch backstage on SmackDown. And you see Paige kind of walking around in the background. So what I'm assuming is she walked around and stayed because she ended up coming back and talking to them. It's like, yeah, I heard y'all talking. That is like what a GM should be doing. Walking around, checking on things, going here, going there. Not just... Let me do my Kurt Angle. And no offense to Kurt Angle, because I think he's done a wonderful job. He's in his office, and he's talking to God knows who on his cell phone. It's always, let me call you back. Bam.
Always.
But yeah, I like that. That's just a small thing. And I really like Paige as a GM.
I'm glad she's still there.
Yeah, me too. I think she's taking the role and kind of running with it just for things like that. You know, she's not... doing her jittery little program. Hey guys, Paige here. She's talking with an authoritative tone,
right?
That and you know she means business whenever she says something.
I mean, I think this is proof of how much she loves the business.
Yep.
Because I mean, I think she even said in an interview, you know, when that Monday when she had to retire on Raw, she didn't know that she was going to be SmackDown general manager until the next day. They were like, hey. Come over to SmackDown. We got something for you. And I think she's really just, you know, truly thankful that she's still in the business and she's putting everything she has into it to make sure that it lasts.
Yep. There's a food fight, which apparently was like insanely scripted out.
Yeah, I saw apparently it leaked online or something.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous. You know, now that we're recasting the shows, you know, I still want to chat wrestling, but, you know, my focus has
been... It's kind of a slow time right now.
Right.
For WWE. I mean, you know, WrestleMania season is come and gone, and, you know, they're not really going to start doing anything really big match-wise until later in the summer when it gets close to SummerSlam. I mean, Money in the Bank is always a good draw. It's usually a good pay-per-view, but it's still a couple weeks away.
Yeah, and it seems like it's been a long drought since the last pay-per-view.
Yeah, because they're not doing two or three a month.
That is, to be honest, I like that a lot more.
Yeah.
It actually builds up a little bit of anticipation for the next pay-per-view.
It gets to flesh out, you know, the programs between, you know, the wrestlers and the feuds.
It's letting storylines breathe a little bit.
Right.
And get some air in there. Anything else big we need to talk about? Brock still does not show up on Raw. Your Universal Champion sucks. Worst champion in the history of the WWE. I said it. Worst champion of the... And I did say WWE.
Yeah.
So don't come at me with your, well, what about David Arquette? Vince never had the mental fart of making David Arquette his champion. But worst WWE champion of all time, I'm calling it now, Brock Lesnar.
Something that I don't... I didn't really want to talk about it, but when I watched the video, I have to bring it up. Enzo... He apparently has responded to the whole rape allegation, you know, the charges being dropped or whatever, and he did it through a rap video.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to watch that rap video, to
be
honest.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
Okay.
It's not, it doesn't seem like talent.
Yeah.
It's just him. Something funny, you see how the mistake Hogan made on Twitter?
Yeah, accidentally thinking Bam Margera died and it was Ryan Dunn. He's trying to post a picture of Ryan Dunn. Which, as a, you know, we're jackass slash, folks, I'm going to give you a little history lesson into me and Mike's friendship and all of our other friends. We would, every Sunday in the winter, we would play football together and then go home, take a shower, chill out a little bit, and then we'd all go over to Mike's house and we would play poker. That's when
or watch pay-per-view, being a Sunday.
On Sunday nights, MTV used to run a block of shows, and it was Pimp My Ride, and there's a couple others, and then Viva La Bam, and we always made sure that we were watching Viva La Bam, and so whenever you see something with Ryan Dunn or Bam Margera, you know, I always go back to those days, like, man, we watched every episode of Viva La Bam at your house.
And then we've all seen, you know, every episode of Jackass and all the movies, and we've done some dumb Jackass stuff. But
I wasn't going to bring those up.
Nothing as serious as they did, but...
That's really, as far as breaking news and notes, that's really all I had to discuss. Our ladder matches, I think, are all set up, barring some last-minute changes in the next couple of weeks.
Right, but it's still, I think, 2 weeks away.
Yep. So we'll get to the pay-per-view when we get there. Mike, I'm ready to recast Heroes. Well, hold on. Let me see if I can do the...
And they always... Like, I always noticed it whenever Heroes started, you know, the opening credits or whatever, they always had a credit for that voice.
Oh, really?
I don't remember who it was, but I mean, it was like, and also the voice or music of so-and-so.
Oh, okay, cool. It was such an incredible show.
Yeah.
Very character-driven, especially that first season. And what I loved was, like, the first half, I think, of season one, it seemed like every episode kind of focused on a different character. And then as the season went on, you kind of... more of those characters started intertwining.
Right.
Am I right? Or am I thinking of...
I mean, you could tell they had a plan for a whole bunch of characters. And I liked how this was a worldwide thing. It wasn't, you know, like your typical, you know, Marvel movie or something, you know, everything is here in this one city. And, you know, everybody that has special powers all just happen to run into each other here. I mean, this took people from around the world actually finding their way to each other because of this common, you know, issue.
Who do you want to go with first? I'll let you kind of run the show this time.
All right. I'm going to start with Noah.
Noah Bennett.
He was one of my favorite characters. He's in my top three of favorite characters of the entire run.
Okay.
starting with him, I already went way outside the box. I'm sure this person that I chose didn't even cross your mind as being Noah Bennett. But Noah was, I liked how when you first few episodes that you see Noah, you have no idea who he is.
Yep.
I mean,
the man in horn-rimmed glasses.
Yeah, they just referred to him as HRG.
Yep.
Horn-rimmed glasses. And you didn't know if he was a bad guy, a good guy, or what. And then you slowly find out more about him. And, you know, he's actually Claire's father and, you know, adopted father and whatnot. But basically, you know, Noah was, for the first few seasons, he was strictly a company man. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever he was told to do, it was for the company, and he went through with it. But he also, you know, it showed his loyalty to family, and when it came to that, he would overstep his bounds, really, and do whatever was necessary to protect those that he loved or what he just felt was right. So for him, thinking on those lines, I chose Tommy Dreamer.
Wow, that is, holy shit, because, that is like nowhere near mine.
Right, because I'm thinking that. Tommy Dreamer and ECW, company man. He was with them no matter what was going on, he stuck with them.
Interesting pick, I like it.
And he always, you know, family-oriented, quote-unquote. I mean, the people that he was aligned with, that's where his loyalty was.
No, it's a great pick, great pick. I went with a guy who many folks in the company probably see this guy as a fatherly figure by now. I think you could see him having some sort of a father-daughter relationship with who I picked as my Claire.
Okay.
And I think he would actually look pretty good if you put him in a pair of horn-rimmed glasses. I seem to be picking this guy every week for all the shows. I chose William Regal.
Okay.
When it comes down to it, if he has to fight, he knows how to whoop somebody's ass, too.
Right, right.
Like Noah did.
Yeah.
And once you, like you said, very big company guy. Been with the WWE for a long time, a couple of different times, you know, but he seemed to give his all for whatever company he was with.
Right, right.
So, William Regal. Who do you want to go with next?
Just going to go down my list. Went with Claire.
Claire. Okay. Let me give you my Claire first.
Go ahead.
Claire was one of the main storylines of the show, of the whole show, all four seasons.
Just about the center focus of everything.
Sweet and innocent, very relatable, you could connect with this character.
Right.
And mainly on the sweet and innocence, I chose Bailey as my Claire, the cheerleader that everyone must save.
Right. I went same route. Sweet, innocent, you know, I say this a lot, unassuming, you know, just looking at them, you don't see any kind of threat or power. You just think, okay, it's the pretty girl, but then you find out, you know, she's intelligent and, you know, she knows what to do and when to do it. I went with Renee Young.
Very good. Very good. I could see it. Yeah, very fun. Very, very good pick. Very good pick. She, very sweet.
I mean, granted, just because she's, you know, announcer, interviewer, all, we haven't really seen a physical side to her, but she gives off that aura that, you know, she's always going to fight for what's right.
Probably wouldn't look too bad in a cheerleader outfit either.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Okay.
I found a lot of these.
This was a hard one.
Yeah.
With Buffy, you know, you kind of had a couple of characters that, like, yeah, I could easily see them playing.
Because a lot of them were over the top.
Right, right.
You know, this was I mean, you had superpowers and stuff, but, I mean, it was more, it was real dramatic. It was a serious, like, this was one of, you could truly believe, like, this is how it would really be if people had superpowers. I mean, it's not going to be all hokey and,
right,
you know, over the top, like I said. But I found, like, going through this one, a lot of my choices are also kind of related to not only their wrestling character, but just kind of the person that I see them as, you know, outside of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I did with Renee Young.
Okay. How about next? Let's go with Peter.
This was a hard one.
It was for me too. It was for me too.
It was hard for me because there was a lot of different people that I could see kind of being in that role, but all the people I thought of had different aspects of Peter because, you know, Peter was kind of not necessarily tortured, but, I mean, he always had an inner struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always wanted to do right. He wanted to be accepted. And there's not just a lot of, you know, characters in wrestling that share all those qualities. So I had it narrowed down to four. Some of them are just mainly kind of stature, size, you know, a little bit of look, and, you know, each one of them kind of had a little bit of qualities. For some reason, Matt Sydal stuck out.
Okay. Good pick. I like that. I can see that.
I had Daniel Bryan as a possibility.
Interesting.
AJ Styles.
Okay.
Could be. Okay. And then more of just a comedic one. Because, you know, Peter always wanted to be a superhero. I mean, he wanted that.
Yep.
As he would. So I said Hurricane Helms.
As soon as you explained that. For my Peter, I chose a guy that, one, he always seemed to be trying to prove himself to his brother.
Right.
And I based this one off who I decided to pick for my Nathan. He's always trying to prove himself to a brother. He's eager to jump into a fight to help somebody. And he also is a very connectable as both a character and I think outside the ring as well. But you mentioned him. I chose Daniel Bryan for my Peter Petrelli. With that being said, I'm going to go
to Nathan.
To with my Nathan Petrelli. Nathan kind of, you know, he's not looking towards his past because of the accident with his family where he flew away in a car and his wife was paralyzed.
Right.
He doesn't look much to his past anymore. He's looking towards the future always, always in a suit, wanting to be the next big man in charge. And like I said, I based my Peter off who I picked as my Nathan. So Peter's always trying to prove himself to Nathan and be a good person to him and prove them that he can do what he thinks he can do. Triple H is my Nathan Petrelli.
I thought about that. He was a consideration. I kind of went the same route, you know, a lot of the things you said, because, I mean, it's relating to what Nathan was and who he was. And this was another one that I really struggled with. It took a long time to get a Nathan. Who I chose, it's really just kind of minute aspects of the character, but it also goes back to what I said, where some of these, this is one that, you know, kind of just the man himself, not the character. But this guy, you know, currently always in a suit. He's looking out for himself. I mean, he protects family when need be, mm-hmm. but he's also just going to tell you exactly how it is, you know, okay, that's just a dumb idea. Just leave it alone. I'll handle it. I went with The Miz.
Okay. That's a great pick. Once again, you know, not looking at his past from the real world or tough enough or anything about that. He's looking straight towards his future into becoming something more than what he is in the world. Great pick. I like that. Man, I didn't even consider The Miz. Wow. Who you want to go with next?
Next on my list, I had Angela Petrelli.
Angela Petrelli. Okay, you can.
Now, this is one where, on most of these, I know how you're kind of going, you know, true to the characters in the show, you know, if they're related, you know, kind of working with each other to fit.
Kind of.
On this one, I didn't at all. I mean, because of the different, how many different characters there are and, like, different ages, I didn't try to get too close to, you know, if somebody was too young for it or too old for a certain role. I just really went off just characteristics. For Angela, this is definitely one that's nowhere near the age that character was, but Angela always had, whenever she walked in a room or she was on screen, she commanded,
yeah,
you know, that scene. I mean, her presence just overtook everything else. And always, you just knew she was powerful. She had power, and she wasn't afraid to exploit it. And I went with Stephanie.
Okay. I considered her. I really did. I end up going with, right now, someone in the WWE who is one of the older divas, but yet still, like you said, commands a presence.
Right.
When she's in the ring, you're looking at her. Can be a little bit crazy, which I think Angela showed at times. I chose Mickie James.
Okay.
Just, you know, motherly type figure, I think, to all the other divas. You know, Natalya, I think, could have done it as well. Which I heard an interesting story that about when Natalya came to Raw, Sasha Banks and Bayley were giving up their seats to Natalya.
Right.
I thought that's...
letting her get first dibs on the food
right.
when they were in there.
Yeah,
and,
that's...
You know,
that
like, you're the veteran. You deserve this.
That says so much about the character of Sasha and Bayley. I just wanted to get that out there. Let's see. Who do you want to go with next?
I guess I'll just go with Hiro.
Hiro. Okay. I got to explain mine a little bit. With mine, you have to go to... I picked a New Japan Pro Wrestling guy.
Okay.
But I chose a guy that is... Hiro was kind of a reluctant hero. Reluctant in the way that, you know, he loved every minute. And he was just happy to be a hero. And he also had a very goofy side, like, you know, when he lost his mind both times. Because at one point, he regressed to his to childhood state in his mind.
Right.
Right. And then another time, something happened and he just went fucking crazy and just was saying just the most ridiculous shit.
Right.
So I chose a guy. He is one of the super juniors over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I chose Taguchi.
Okay.
Do you know Taguchi?
Not off the top of my head.
Crazy dude, always does just goofy shit in the ring with his butt and stuff like that. And
okay.
The hardcore wrestling fans will know why I picked Taguchi.
For me, I went with the kind of the goofy side. You know, is you could tell this guy always wanted to do right, but I even went with the whole not having all that great English. Really just a fun character. And I mean, if I actually could like picture him in this role in like some of the scenes throughout the show and all, I went with Tajiri.
Okay. I really thought about Tajiri.
Yeah.
Oh, hi Tajiri.
Poor coach.
I like that. I really did think about that. You know, he had a lot of comedic bits. And now what I like about that is when Hiro comes back in time, I think you could see Tajiri pulling off the serious character,
right,
speaking straight English with a sword behind him. Like, when are we going to get that Hiro is all I kept thinking throughout the show.
That was a great scene. You know, him showing up on the subway car or whatever, and
everything's frozen, and he's got the sword.
But he looks completely different.
Speaking completely perfect English. You know, whenever I see Hiro in another role, like he was in Get Smart.
Yep.
He was on Scrubs a couple of times. You know, it's just funny. I was like, there's Hiro. Yeah. I love you, Hiro.
He's one of those guys that anytime you see him, I mean, it's Hiro.
Yeah, it's Hiro.
He's never going to get to step away from that.
Okay, you just said Hiro. Let's go with your Ando.
Ando was another struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, Ando was, he was a lot more serious than Hiro.
Exactly.
And, I mean, he knew... He could definitely have fun. He had the fun side to him, but he definitely, as you find out later, you know, he wanted power.
Yep.
He wanted to be special. He wanted to be, you know, the important guy. He didn't want to be the sidekick.
Right.
So I chose Okada.
Okay. My pick is a little close to that. I chose, like you said, just for the more, he was what kept Hiro kind of grounded.
Right.
And I think this character could do it. He's a lot more of a serious character. I chose Hideo Itami, or Kenta, for those that do not know. All right. We're getting to the nitty gritty here. Where you tell us where we're going next.
Matt Parkman.
Oh, I got a good one for Matt. You go first. I got a good one.
Okay. Parkman, he always, you know, starting out, he didn't want the power.
Yep.
He found out that he had the power. He didn't really want it. And
kind of like Nathan did, too.
Yeah, right. Nathan was a bit more extreme with it. He just ignored it completely.
Yeah.
But he didn't really want the power. He just wanted to be the good guy, normal life. And he finally accepted his role. He accepted the power that he had. He, you know, used it when he needed to. But then when he realized that he was really powerful, he wasn't afraid to sometimes, you know, cross that line and, you know, become the bad guy. I mean, he used his power how he felt fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a bit of a stretch, but I chose Shane McMahon.
Okay. No, that's a great pick. That's a great pick. All right. So mine, I actually put a little bit of Matt Parkman's physical characteristics.
Yeah, I thought about that too, but
Some of it is based on that Heroes Reborn when he was running the campus, for the lack of a better term, where they're just like everyone is brainwashed.
Yeah.
And this guy had everyone under his control. I chose Kevin Owens.
It was a definite thought of mine.
And I really liked Matt Parkman, the character.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Greg Gumbyrd, the actor. I love seeing him in anything.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
He was in Lost.
He was in Lost. He was in freaking Rogue One, you know?
Yeah.
It's just crazy how much he shows up in. My turn. I'm going to pick. Let's see. This was one of the hardest ones for me to come up with. And I don't really like my pick. And mainly it's physical, and that's all I can think of. It's just the physical appearance and a little bit of where the person is from. For Mohinder, I chose Mustafa Ali.
Okay. Yeah, this was a hard one for me, because I really wanted to stay true, you know, or at least close to ethnicity, because, I mean, you know, if this were to happen, I mean, I know it never would, but, I mean, you'd have to change backstory, and, I mean, parts of the story would change if you didn't stick with that.
Right.
But I had a really hard time coming up with anybody that sat well with me. So I started thinking outside the box, and, you know, Mohinder Suresh, at first he just wanted to get all these people together. He wanted to find out, you know, what it was all about. He wanted to find all these special people that had these powers and just bring them all together. And then it gradually grew to where once he was doing that, he kind of wanted the power himself. You know, he wanted certain abilities, and he ended up giving himself that over time.
Which I hated that story.
Right.
Line too.
But, you know, he wanted to be involved just like they were. And then eventually, you know, he wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the one. And thinking that far out the box of just getting all these people together and then kind of wanting to be a part of it and be it, I chose Vince.
McMahon?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You know, because basically, you know, within wrestling, he ended up bringing all the territories together to one.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
I see it.
And then once he got into it, he realized he wanted to be a part of it, so he started getting into matches.
Hey, pal! You got powers, huh?
he gave himself the power of
Spider-Man
being in charge, and then you know,
okay,
taking control.
Who you want to go with next?
One of my other top three favorite characters, Siler.
Okay, this one was tough for me. So I'll go first. Because I kind of don't like my pick. So, but I think I chose a dude that has kind of a... when you see Siler, those first couple of times, you never see his face.
Right.
And it's kind of like the boogeyman. You know, and I picked...
did you choose the boogeyman?
I did not choose the boogeyman. What a guy I did pick would be like, if this dude put on, you know, a military jacket and a hat, kept his face concealed, he'd be a pretty... intimidating appearance.
Right.
And I'm struggling with it, but I really like my pick. And, like, I think about parts of it. I really like it, and then I really don't. But I chose Baron Corbin.
Okay.
Because, first off, Siler hated working with people.
Right.
Baron Corbin's the lone wolf. Like I said, you put Baron Corbin in a military jacket and a hat covering most of his face and keep him in the shadows. He was a pretty scary-looking dude.
Yeah.
So.
I like it. He was a consideration of mine, actually. It got down to two people for me. Overall, I did decide on one. For Siler, you know, the main part was just that sinister side. He had no problem doing whatever he felt was necessary. I mean, he would kill people. He wanted the power. He wanted to be the top guy. But he also could be kind of manipulative.
Very, very manipulative.
Right. Now, going mainly with the sinister side, I went with Orton. I know you don't like him.
God damn it, dude. You know what's funny is I actually considered putting Orton in this episode.
Yeah.
I actually... was considering him for Nathan Petrelli.
But I went with Orton mainly because of that viciousness. And, I mean, you know, he used to punt people in the head. He was the legend killer. I mean, he just had... The other person that I was toying with, just because I think they do the manipulation better and, you know, could just show up in a suit and completely sell you on something and then stab you in the back, was Austin Aries.
Okay. Interesting pick there. Interesting. All right. How about next? Let's see. Let's go with the Haitian.
Okay.
We don't know. The Haitian was the most mysterious character on that show.
Right.
You hardly learned anything about him. He never talked. And there's a reason why he didn't talk, right?
I forgot what it was. He did end up speaking later in the show, but, you know, because he had actually talked to Claire.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think it was like a code of honor with something.
Yeah.
So with that being said, who I picked as my Haitian is not the biggest talker of the New Day, but you know, he's I don't know. I can't really explain why I picked him, and I kind of don't like to pick, but I picked Kofi.
I did too.
Okay.
Now mine was partially joking, just because. You know, the Haitian, his power was he can make you forget.
Yeah.
Just like Kofi makes you forget that he used to be a Jamaican.
I knew there was something there. Yeah. Okay.
But he was, you know, Kofi is, you know, character-wise, he's supposed to be close to that area of where he came from. So.
Right.
But yeah, mine was mainly a joke. But
okay. All right. Who are we going next?
Nikki.
Nikki Sanders.
And Jessica and all her other...
Yeah, I'll let you go first.
I tried to find somebody that could really encapsulate all the different versions of Nikki and Jessica, and I still can't remember the third name that she went by.
Yeah, I don't
but,
either.
But, you know, she had the motherly side, you know, very protective. Then you had the kick-ass side that wasn't afraid to get her hands dirty, and then there's a little bit of a crazy side to her. And
Gina,
okay. But the person I chose basically has shown all of these things throughout her career. I mean, obviously at different times, but I could really see her pulling this off, and you chose her earlier. I chose Mickie James.
Okay, I could see it. So, like you said, I chose someone who could have, I think, has played... would use the same name, as played the same character. She's been a face. She's been a heel. She's been, you know, an underdog. She's been the top lead dog of the women's division. And I really could see her as far as like when the physical moments came, when Jessica came out, she looks like she could whoop your ass. Charlotte Flair.
Right.
And I really like that pick. I really do. Just mainly because like Charlotte's played so many different types of characters already, right. Whether she was the queen, you know, whether she was Charlotte Flair of Team PCB or whatever,
right.
or you know, that. So yeah, Charlotte Flair.
Okay.
All right. I think I'm hoping you picked this guy. Did you pick a Micah?
I did, but it was kind of just a throw in
okay.
choice.
Who'd you pick?
Xavier Woods.
Okay. Xavier Woods keeps getting kid roles in these shows. Yeah. I pick Nicholas for mine.
I thought about that. I honestly went with Xavier Woods just because, you know, Micah had the power of, you know, to manipulate, you know,
mm-hmm.
mechanics, machinery, and
computers,
electronics,
yeah.
computers, and stuff like that. And outside of WWE, that's what Xavier Woods is known for, you know, all the video games.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Oh, man, that's
all that
good.
Stuff,
that's
so.
Good. That's good. I like that. Where do you want to go next?
As Hero would say it, Mr. Isak, Isaac Mendez.
Oh, okay. Let's hear your pick first, because I think I got a good one for this.
All right, Isaac, he was the recovering junkie, wasn't even really recovering. I mean, he was just...
He was still a junkie.
He was on it, and he found that when he was on heroin, I believe it was heroin.
Yes.
He could basically paint the future.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the show, you know, he realized, you know, that, you know, he tried to get himself clean and went through a whole transition there. You know, it's somebody that you were just kind of rooting for. And the person I chose actually kind of mirrors this role. Artistic and had issues with drugs. Jeff Hardy.
Okay. That's a great pick. That's a great pick. I consider Jeff. I consider Matt.
Right.
Because they've both had the same dish.
Yeah.
I went with more of a physical appearance on this one, straight up. And I chose Seth Rollins.
Okay.
I probably could have done better. Probably Matt Hardy would have been a better pick for me, mainly because, like you said, his struggles and how he's changed himself
right.
from the future. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to change that. Matt Hardy. Instead of Seth Rollins, I'm going to go with Matt Hardy.
Okay.
Yes, I see the future. Like, bro, New York's going to explode. Can you please stop laughing? Hey, you know what? He does heroin. I just had a premonition.
And then he goes back completely like normal Matt Hardy used to be.
Yeah. All right. Who do you want to go with next?
DL.
Okay.
This one, honestly, I just physical resemblance. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of character development for DL.
No,
had a troubled past, and you found out what his power was, and, you know, whenever you hear about him to start out with, you think he's a bad guy.
Right.
You never want him around, but, I mean,
right.
he's just a good guy. He
could have gotten out of prison whenever he wanted to.
Right. He was just, you know, made a couple bad choices, got, you know, set up or whatever, but mainly just physical appearance, I could see Shelton Benjamin.
Okay. I went with the guy that comes and goes as he pleases. You know, he's here 1 minute, gone the next. I chose Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
Not because he has sisters. I don't know. Let's see. Okay, so now we're getting into some more nitty-gritty. Season 2, I believe, a character by the name of L. Bishop, played by Kristen Bell, showed up. Who did you have as your Kristen Bell?
For L, she was kind of a smartass, kind of, you know, thought she was better than everybody else.
I have a feeling we're on the same page for this one.
Like I said, she thought she was better than everybody else. You know, she thought that since she had that power, she could use that however she wanted. It didn't matter what other people thought. You know, it was just for her own personal gain and fun. And I went with Bliss.
That's Alexa same. Bliss. Same. Plus, there's a physical appearance there.
Right.
And mainly, you know, Elle, when you saw her on the show, she was a fucking bitch, man.
Yeah.
That was, she was just mean. Now, she softened up a little bit.
Right.
As later on, as she started hanging around Claire, which you thought you were going to get that with Alexa Bliss, but
right.
she has not turned. But she had that early in her career, so
oh, yeah.
she's been there. But, yeah, I chose Alexa Bliss, exact same reasons.
Right.
Who are we going with next?
Daphne.
Okay. This is what I kind of went out of the box on this one.
Okay.
Mainly because I don't think I've really booked her strong enough on these shows. But I could also see her in this character. She was kind of spunky. You know, she was she had an attitude.
Right.
And with that being said, I chose was Sasha Banks.
Okay.
Mainly for, you know, her spunk. She could have like a, she had a just a smart ass, quick witted attitude that she was quick with a she was quick with quips.
Right.
And that's why I chose Sasha.
I pretty much went all the same things you just said. I was thinking more of Daphne. Always seemed like she was just doing it because it was fun. You know,
okay.
she,
yeah.
you find out that prior to her having that power, you know, she was crippled. She couldn't actually walk. So, so she was just thankful for what she had and she was going to make the most fun out of it. And who I chose is always, you know, ever since, you know, being in WWE, it's, she's always just had fun and been kind of feisty. I went with Becky Lynch.
Okay. Great pick. Great pick. Great pick. I think I put, I think I haven't done Sasha well. And these is why a lot right. of the reason why I chose it. Did you pick Daphne? Let's go. Let's hear who you picked for your Linderman.
Linderman.
So Linderman was the guy pulling a lot of strings.
Right.
Kind of like a. I want to say he was more. He was more than this, but he was kind of a mob boss.
Right.
Right. High on power. You know.
He had a unique power of, you know,
being able to regenerate.
Regenerate powers, power. Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Who'd you pick?
With this one, I really went for, you know, Linderman was always real proper, you know, always, you know, nice suit. He wanted everything yes. nice. And mainly just the proper standing of it, of having the power. I went with William Regal for him.
Okay. Okay. I went with someone who always has someone on his side. Linderman surrounded his people with, and a lot, some of them had power, some of them didn't.
Right.
This guy has always had one guy right next to his side that was able to fuck people up whenever he wanted to on mm-hmm. his orders. And if it wasn't Brock Lesnar, it was Big Show.
Right.
I chose Paul Heyman as my Linderman, mainly because like I could see Paul Heyman just leading people. He's a very charismatic guy.
Right.
You don't know why you follow this guy. You know, the folks at ECW, I guarantee you when they look back, like, how did Paul get us to do some of the shit we did?
Yeah.
Because you believed in the guy. And he promised you great things like Linderman did, but then there was always a catch to it, yeah. you know?
And he's not somebody that you would cross.
Exactly. Exactly. Who you want to go with next?
Adam Monroe.
Okay. You had to remind me. Some of these you had to remind me multiple right. times who Adam was. But Adam, to me, he was immortal. He was also a very handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very good looking, a talker. That's how he, you know, all those legends that when Hero came to him, he was kind of, it was kind of him. He sweet talked a couple of things in his stories. Right. So, and I imagine with sweet talker, you had to have a great smile. So for my Adam, I chose Finn Balor.
Okay. Same stature and, yep. okay. I went. More overall story arc. You know, he, you know, at first when you find out who he really is, you know, he's good guy, champion of the people or whatever, you know, fighting right. the good battle. Then you find out that he's not completely honest with everything that he did, you know, all the stories he kind of made up and embellished just to make himself look better. And then he really kind of found out, okay, I am pretty powerful. You know, I can be on my own. I don't need everyone else. And then basically just turned his back on Hero. So I went with Seth Rollins.
Okay. That's a great pick. turned, like you said, I like the whole turned his back on his brother. And
right.
One of my, now that I remember him, the when they opened up that casket and you just hear, "Hero, you son of a bitch."
Because, I mean, they had to bury him alive just to get him out of the picture.
Oh, just imagine that. You just, what do you do that whole, he was buried for thousands of years.
Yeah.
God, what did he do for all that time? Because he couldn't die.
Right.
He couldn't, you know, he didn't choke on his tongue or anything. That is torture.
Oh, yeah.
Right there, what they did to him. Let's see. Okay. So now we're getting into the last season. Then we can do just one-off characters, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. You had to remind me who this character was. I want to see who your Lydia was.
Lydia, she was the one who was a part of Samuel's little carnival group of, you know, specials. She had a very unique ability. I don't think this was taken from anything else. I mean, this truly seemed like it was just created for the show. I could be wrong. There could be some comic, you know, that has this.
Elektra, wasn't there a character that dealt with tattoos in Elektra?
I do not know.
Well, there was. This dude had, like, tattoos of animals on his body that could come to life and attack you.
Yeah, they do that in Moana, too.
Oh. Speaking of which, the Buccaneers, I got to show you this when we get done. The Buccaneers drafted a dude that looks precisely like Maui. I'm not joking. Anyway, get to your pick. Sorry.
But basically, you know, the tattoo thing stuck in my head. I mean, her ability, you know, when the tattoos on her body would basically tell stories, you could find people that way. And but the tattoo thing really stuck out. And, you know, if you go by her career, she first started out as just, you know, kind of a sidekick to somebody. And then later on, she found out that she could do well on her own. And that's kind of how Lydia's story progressed. But I went with Lita.
Okay. Great pick. I went more physical appearance, a lot of tattoos, you know, kind of alternative looking. Not that there's a problem with that. I'm just saying.
Right.
I chose Ruby Riott.
That was a thought because of the tattoos.
Let's see. Let's go with, last.
Last one I had was Samuel.
Samuel. Let's
see. One of my favorite characters.
Dude.
I just loved everything about this guy. I mean, I know he was technically a villain and all, but I mean, just the way the actor portrayed him and came across and with the accent. But Samuel, he had the power of talking and speech. He could talk anybody into pretty much anything. And that's how he got so many followers, and that whole carnival was just centered around him because he could say the right things to convince people that, you know, I'm the one you need to listen to. And I could really hear him saying this phrase, and once I say it, you'll know exactly who I chose. But I could hear him say, "Follow the buzzards."
Oh,
I really think Bray Wyatt,
okay,
because Bray, we all know, has that mic. He has the skills on the mic. He will hold you literally. You know, he has the whole world in the palm of his hand when he speaks.
I chose someone that is charismatic as well, in a different type of way. I could see this character. I could literally see this character on Heroes wearing the exact same getup as Samuel, and he is great on the stick, very convincing, very, like I said, very charismatic, and just a cool fucking dude. Like, he comes to the ring in jeans and a tank top. Or not tank top, but a white beater, whatever you want to call it. I chose Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Mainly because you put that jacket on him with his shaggy hair, and you've got fucking Samuel right there.
Yeah.
So let's go through some minor characters or some characters we didn't get to. Simone Devereaux, that was
Isaac's, yeah.
Girlfriend. Naomi, I think.
Even appearance-wise, like the first thing I just thought of when you said that, I was thinking JoJo.
Oh, JoJo. There you go. I like that more. JoJo. There was a character. Who was it that there was a dream Peter Petrelli had, and it was Peter Petrelli was like a nurse, wasn't he?
Yeah, not necessarily. It was like caretaker.
Caretaker.
Yeah.
But it was the guy who was, he was a caretaker for, I think it was Simone Devereaux's father. He was played by Richard Roundtree, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Who
Charles Devereaux.
Yeah, I think I'd pick like Ernie Ladd.
Okay.
You know, just older black gentleman, could see him in that role.
Yeah, I didn't even think of him.
I mean, that dream Peter had carried him through a lot of the season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He was a very important character.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have anybody for him. I remember the character, but I never even tried to come up with somebody for him. Somebody I did want to mention, I can't remember his name, but the guy who had like the power of like puppeteer, he could control basically what, you know, just your movements, just like you were, you know, marionette or something. For him, I thought Paul Heyman.
Okay.
I mean, there's kind of a resemblance, you know, stature wise, but you know, Paul Heyman's always behind the scenes pulling the strings. And
how about, do you remember Charlie Andrews? She was the waitress.
The waitress, yeah, the heroes.
Yeah, and her, what was her power?
She had like memory. Incredible memory.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she could see something one time and remember it exactly.
Let's see.
She was really cute.
Yep.
Small frame.
Trish?
Very innocent.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. The innocent part's what throws it off. I mean, you could pick tons of people. For
me, I didn't pick. I could put Renee Young in that role.
Yeah, I could see that too. Yeah.
Said Charles Devereaux, Meredith Gordon, biological mother Clara, who, oh, yeah, she had a. Wait a minute. Oh, Meredith Gordon. She was the pyrokinetic.
Yeah.
Lady. Yeah, that's a tough one, because we named a lot of... Tony Storm. There we go. That's who I'd pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with that, because never get enough Tony Storm.
Let's see. There was Paulette Hawkins, who was DL's mother and lived down in Louisiana, which brings me to another character. There was... do you remember the girl with muscle memory? While the robbery was happening, she watched WWE.
She did the 619.
Yeah, she 619'd a guy. That works perfectly for what we're trying to do. What was her name? Her name was Monica Dawson, played by Dana Davis.
For me, I think that would be Naomi.
Okay. I could see it. Yeah, Naomi.
Very athletic, and I mean, she can pretty much do what any of the guys do.
Yeah. I like that, too. Naomi would have multiple roles then.
Yeah.
There was, let's see. We said Linderman. Eden McCain, do you remember her? She was the one that had the power suggestion. She could, I think you need to eat a
donut.
And then, like,
Matt
Parkman was starting to stuff his face with donuts. You know, very unassuming. Like, you wouldn't think this girl, when you first meet her, she was like Mohinder's father. Thought it was just a girl that lived across the way.
Right.
And then you find out, like, she's working for the big bad company and was sent to spy on Mohinder's father and to spy on Mohinder. Let's see. Power suggestion. I have to talk.
I'm thinking because of kind of the dark side to her, I'm thinking Paige.
Okay. Very good. I like it. Let's see. Here's a good one. Claude Rains, the invisible man that was training Peter on his empathic abilities, played by the almost irreplaceable Christopher Eccleston. He is so awesome in anything he does.
He was in Gone in 60 Seconds. He was in Thor.
The Dark World. Yeah. He was the main lead.
He was Malekith.
Yep. Let's see.
Honestly, for me, that's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I could see that. I really don't know. Dean Ambrose, I think, is just so damn cool looking. how about Ted Sprague? He was the nuclear
guy. I thought about him. I thought about putting him on the list, like, afterwards, but
Cassius Ohno.
See, I was thinking more of, you know, nuclear, completely unstable. I was thinking Brian Pillman.
Wait, he's dead, though.
I don't care.
Well, you can't cast a dead man in a show.
Yeah, I can.
He was dead before the show was even thought of.
So?
No, it doesn't work. Take it back. Jake the Snake Roberts. Unstable. Atom Bomb.
Yeah.
Atom Bomb.
Atom Bomb.
There we go.
Makes perfect sense.
Brian Davis is an evolved human who has the ability to move things. That's where that's where Siler got his telepathic abilities from when he killed him. And your brain, your brain is not right.
Right.
That
was like the first one or whatever.
Right. So does that mean Siler could like reconfigure his brain to match the brain of the person of these powers?
Well, he did reconfigure it at one point because, you know, they figured out, like, when he got Claire's ability or whatever, you know,
there.
Claire, they knew that you could kill Claire if you got her right in the back of the head in the one spot on the brain. And later on, Siler let it be known. He's like, yeah, I moved that spot in my brain, so you don't know where to shoot. So, yeah, technically he could.
Brian Davis, let's see. I remember him being kind of a nerdy character.
Who was he?
Like I said, he was played by David Berman. Yeah, just a big nerd-looking dude.
Did he have powers? Or
That's where he had telekinesis. That's stole his the power of telekinesis from.
Yeah, I can't even picture the guy.
I can't. We can skip that one. Zane Taylor.
What about the brother and sister? You know, they kind of controlled life and death.
I don't remember
the Hispanic brother and sister.
Well, there's one played by Dania Ramirez who spit poison. Is that not who we're talking about?
I don't think so. They were brother and sister. Like, they were trying to get across the border or whatever. And she had the
Alejandro
power.
Alejandro Herrera?
Yeah.
And Maya Herrera.
Yeah, Maya. That's who I was thinking of.
So, Maya Herrera, I think what... Let's see. Yeah, she was played by Dania Ramirez, who was in a bunch... She's in a bunch of stuff. I think she was... she was in one of the X-Men movies, X-Men The Last Stand. I think she was the chick that could detect other people with powers. And she could move really fast and stuff. Her and Dania Ramirez... You can pick them. I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of resemblance. Not really, but I was thinking of what's the chick with Andrade?
Zelina Vega.
Yeah. Okay. But good. As for brother,
Cian Almas?
Yeah.
Candace Wilmer. Do you remember her? She was played by Missy Peregrim, and she had the power to create illusions. And when she got killed, she ended up being like not looking anything. She was like a fat gothic girl.
Yeah, I remember that.
She wasn't around that long, but I really liked her character, and I always liked Missy Peregrine.
Yeah, because she was kind of in charge of like holding Micah.
Yes,
like hostage or whatever.
Yeah. For me, let's see. Creating illusions. I don't.
Yeah, we're starting to reach here.
Yeah. Let's see. Alejandro Herrera, Maury Parkman, West Rosen, who had the ability to fly. Season 3.
Yeah, that was Claire was kind of dating him.
Eric Doyle was the character you were talking about.
Okay,
earlier.
Yeah, the puppeteer.
Puppet master.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see, the German with magnetic manipulation. Let's see. Samson Gray, the biological father of Siler, played by John Glover. I wouldn't even replace that because I love John Glover.
Right.
Anything he's in. Daphne Millbrook was Bree Grant.
Right.
Or we talked about Daphne.
Yeah.
Jesse. Oh, I didn't realize Francis Capra was on this show. Oh, here's a good one. Hero's father. We didn't even get to him.
George Takei.
I think that's like too much perfect of a pairing to replace too.
And I don't think there's anybody really.
Nakamura?
It's hard to picture him that serious though.
Okay, one of those serious dudes from New Japan. let's see. Arthur Petrelli. That would be Vince McMahon for me. Yeah. Hey, pal, thanks for giving me your healing powers. Baron Samedi? They actually had a character named Baron Samedi from, like, wasn't that a Baron Samedi was a character in 007, wasn't he? In the New Orleans movie? Or the voodoo movie?
Maybe.
So they had a character in this named Baron Samedi. Okay.
I mean, there was a couple other ones from the carnival. You had
Arnold, who's space time manipulation. I think the Bowman family.
It was Edgar, played by Ray Park.
Yes,
the quick knife guy.
Yep.
For me, I think that would be like Rey Mysterio or something.
There was Eli.
He was kind of like a multiple man, Jamie Madrox.
Now we're just kind of naming the characters.
Yeah.
Let's see. Joseph Sullivan, we talked about him. Such a badass character. I wonder if they have Heroes Reborn.
I couldn't tell you a single person's name from that unless they were from the original Heroes.
Yeah, most of them
were. I really enjoyed it, but I cannot remember.
Additional season 3 characters, webisode characters, which is crazy. Like, they had webisodes for this thing that introduced more into the story. I tell you, there's a character that in Heroes Reborn that can make you forget things by making you pick up a certain object. Most of the time, it was pennies.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a penny for your thoughts. I mean,
yep. Yep. Yeah. That would be Bray Wyatt for me. Hypnotizable, making you forget.
Right.
Everything. So I think that's about it. I think we've cashed ourselves.
When you get to somebody and you're like, yeah, let's leave them who they are, that they can wrestle later.
Folks, that's gonna be it this week. This was the toughest of the three we've done.
So far, yeah.
Cause the characters, like, you know, like we said, Buffy and Lost. Buffy, mainly the characters, are over the top, you know. Lost had a ton of characters with different adaptations that you can make. And then this one, you know, these are people with powers, but they weren't over the top. There wasn't, you know, heavily painted man, or there wasn't people in spandex costumes or anything like that.
I mean, this is the closest to where if this kind of thing really did happen, I mean, that's pretty much how it would be.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot more drama to it than just hokiness and, like you said, spandex suits and capes.
Cool. Well, folks, we're going to get out of here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Be sure you can follow us on Twitter. Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. You can follow me. I'm at Derek, DerickOverSell.
At WolfMike23.
You can also check out OversellPod.com and check out the Amazon link right underneath the main player while you're there shopping on Amazon like you already did. We get a small commission on anything sold through our link. There's no extra fees or hidden fees or anything like that. It's just you shopping on Amazon like you already do. Check us out on iTunes. Leave that 5-star review. Folks, you've been listening to the Oversell Podcast.
The Superstar of the Week.